Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is that time of the week, a Fransky Friday at noon here on the Midday Show. I wish we were getting ready for a baseball game tonight.
Scott.
Yeah, it'll be game five tonight. Instead, we look forward to an offseason one that could have some real change around here. Scott Fransky with us. Scott, how you doing today?
Well, I'd be better if, like you said, we were playing baseball tonight, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, so Scott, from your purview, what was really the issue with this team, and why did the bats go cold at the time they went cold?
Why? I mean, I just think the issue was the bats. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you just got to score more runs than they did when you get to the postseason. You gotta be more productive at the plate. You got to work pitchers harder. You got to, you know, grind out longer at bats, things like that. I don't know. I mean, I think we've certainly seen it from these guys. It's the same basic group of guys, 3 years running now. So I don't want to say it's shocking, but it shouldn't be all that surprising, because they go through spells like this. Mm-hmm. They have, whether it's the playoffs or the regular season, we've just seen it. We've seen it before, and it happens. And, you know, this team was built to hit, and they didn't hit.
Scott, when you look forward now, because it's going to be an offseason that I think now the expectation is, unlike last year when they basically ran it back, didn't add much. They re-signed their two top pitchers, but the roster stayed very similar to 2023 and to 2024, that it's going to be different this time around. How much change? I don't know, but some change. Scott, what do you think they need to add? Like, if they're looking for a certain kind of player, because I keep circling back to 22. Why was it different then? And it just, as I think back, it felt to me like the guys they had then, they had more grinders in the lineup. Hoskins was a grinder. Segura would put the bat on the ball. And it feels like they've gotten away from that with the other parts around the stars they have.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I would have made the same case about Bryson Stott a year ago. But nobody would make that case about him now. And that's the nature of baseball sometimes. I mean, a year ago at this time, he was a grinder. He hit .280. He drew walks. He, you know, had long at-bats. And he didn't. And, you know, I think what it starts with is for Dave Dombrowski and his people to decide, okay, is Stott what we thought he was? Is Bohm what we think he is? Is Marsh what we thought he was? What can we do there to get them to another level? Because clearly they need to be on another level if they're going to be, you know, everyday players in the majors. And maybe they're not, you know, maybe they're platoon players in the majors. I don't know. But I think that you have to make that determination. If they're not an everyday player, you better get a compliment to make up for his deficiencies, or you better move on to somebody different.
You know, Scott, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, my question to you is this, because we were talking about it this morning. Do you think that this team needs drastic changes or just a little bit of tweaking here and there?
I mean, I think it's – if I was going to be completely – I mean, I think what they need is to change some approach. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're alone in that. I mean, I think we see it all across baseball. But, I mean – there's a certain philosophy there of you know, doing everything you can to get off your A swing all the time. And, you know, you don't see a lot of, you know, I mean, there were a few guys who employed a two-strike approach, who tried to do things differently with two strikes, whether it's, you know, stride or whatever. But, you know, I mean, go back and look. I mean, how many full swings do you see on, you know, with two strikes? Usually you see it pretty often. I don't. You know, and again, you have to – I know everybody's having the debate. Like, who is Trey Turner? What is Trey Turner going to be? Well, Trey Turner is who Trey Turner is. And I don't – you know, I don't see that changing a great deal. Now, he could be better. He could find a tweak or do something different, make an improvement, but I don't see him being appreciably better in terms of his, you know, his eye at the plate, his aggressiveness at the plate. I mean, it's just kind of who he is.
Scott, I know people don't like to hear this, and it frustrates me to hear it after a series, but there was some from the Phillies of, hey, we ran into a really hot team. They played better than us for 4 days. I think Cassiano said he didn't think the Mets were better, but they played better. Scott, how much do you think the team will consider that element to it before they make drastic changes? Like, hey, we won 95. We made the playoffs for the third year in a row. We just had a bad 4 days against a team that, who knows, might win the World Series in 2 weeks, because that is part of the element of the way the postseason is, to where you could have a great year and then in 4 or 5 days you're out.
Sure. I would put more credence on, you know, what happened last year, that they had a bad few days and they lost to a lesser team. I mean, I do think we, you know, whatever it was, they were basically a 500 team over the last 100 games, the Phillies, for a lot of different reasons. But that's the reality. It wasn't that they were a 500 team for 5 days. They were a 500 team over 100 games. And so did they get beat by a lesser team? Are the Mets a better team? Well, they're certainly playing better, and they've done it over a longer stretch. Now again, I know the debate. I know you guys, you know, everybody wants to talk about Rob Thompson and, you know, should he stay, should he go, should you do something different? Well, don't forget, I mean, you can keep changing managers. You can keep doing it over every 2 years, which is what your pattern would be if you do this, right? But the players are the same. The players play the game, and the players decide the outcome of the game. Sure, we can look at one managerial move here and there each postseason that you want to criticize, but that doesn't cost them a series. Mm. It might change a game a little bit. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Players change the game. Players play the game. Go back to Charlie Manuel. He won 5 straight division titles. He won a world championship in this town, and he would be the first guy to tell you players play, and players win or players lose.
Scott, I agree with that. And in this series in particular, I didn't think Rob Thompson was the biggest issue. I know game 4, there was some questions.
Not even close.
The biggest question in game 4 was, did he leave Hoffman in too long? But I keep coming back to, what difference would it really have made? You can't win a game scoring one run, or it's almost impossible.
You know, everybody, it's great. And we can say that maybe Hoffman was in too long. We don't know what Christopher Sanchez would have done if he came into that game in a spot where he's not accustomed to. We don't know. He might have been great. He might have been terrible. He wasn't perfect against the Mets when he pitched in game 2. Don't forget that. They had to erase an early deficit that he created. So you know, the idea that there's one move that a manager makes that, oh, my gosh, that would have changed the course of history, that's not the case. Think about 2011, the last time, you know, they lost the division series, far superior record to a hot team, the Cardinals, okay? What do you remember about that series? Is it something that Charlie Manuel did? No. It's that Cliff Lee didn't hold a 4-0 lead, or that the Phillies got shut out in the finale, or they scored, I think, 2 or 3 runs in the previous game in game 4. That's what you remember. Players play the game. Players decide the outcome.
Scott Fransky joining us here to Fransky Friday as we unfortunately put a bow on the 2024 season, and we look ahead here to what's to come. Scott, how much do you think Bohm struggles down the stretch? Were that hand injury, and how much do you think it was just he fell off? Because early in the season, we felt like he was taking that leap. He was an all-star. He had a million RBIs the first couple months, and he fell back to earth. But really, the last month, it got to the point where you didn't know what you were getting, if you were going to get anything out of him.
Yeah, but if you go back and look at his numbers before the injury, he was struggling offensively. There's no doubt. And I do think there's some element there where maybe Alec got in his own head, and, you know, there was a lot going on for Alec between, you know, the struggles at the plate and the hand injury and trying to come back really quickly. I don't know. He's never said it, probably never would say it publicly. He was sitting there very, very close to 100 RBI. Maybe that's something he wanted to achieve. I don't know. But those are things that roll around in players' heads. And, you know, he definitely wasn't the same guy in that series. A guy who used to, who had worked really hard to separate his offense from his defense and not let his offensive, his defensive struggles affect his offense. It started to affect him in all manner. We saw it. There's just some indecisiveness in the field. That little bobble, whatever, all those little things are happening. And, again, can he overcome that? Can he recover? Is he a good hitter? I still think he's a good hitter. I still think he's a piece that you can work with and that you can build with. But, you know, again, they know him better than we all do mentally. We see some stuff outwardly. The fans see stuff on the, on the television cameras. But they know him better than anybody. And it'll be up to them to decide whether or not they can proceed forward with that and whether they can, you know, help him overcome those struggles.
It will. I mean, that's half the battles, knowing your own prospects, knowing your own players. Will they get better? Will they not? Before
sure.
you make decisions. That's. I mean, half the battle, Scott, is that. Like, how close is Aiden Miller? How good is Alec Bohm? That almost, to me, is more important than, like, hey, firing this guy. If they're right on those things, it can help Dombrowski make the right calls.
Sure. And, I mean, you know, this is a tough sport, tough game, tough town, all those things. Is he the right guy to handle all of those other things emotionally? It's up to them to make those choices. And that goes for Alec. That also goes for all those other players you just mentioned, everyone all the way down to A-ball. They need to be getting a sense of who can play in this environment, who can play in Philadelphia, who can play in the playoffs, who can play under the pressure. And if they feel like somebody down there, despite all the talk about, you know, talent and hype prospect and all that, if they think mentally they can't handle it, then that's the time to sell high and move on. So it's up to them to decide, and they know their guys. They should know their guys better than anybody. So we'll see what they decide.
We will. It's going to be a fascinating offseason. I wish we were still talking about current baseball and tonight, but the offseason is going to be it's going to be one to watch. Scott, we've appreciated every spot this year and the ride throughout. Thanks for a great season, and we'll catch up soon, Scott. Thank you.
Have a good one, Scott.
Hey, Hugh, now don't
big time you
if I see you at an Eagles game. Right?
You know what's funny, Scott? I knew that was coming.
I had to get one more in. I did the same with Ike when I was leaving the booth the other night.
Definitely not. Appreciate everything you've done, man. I appreciate it. Really do.
All right, boys. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Scott.
One.
Take care. Enjoy the offseason. There we go. Scott Fransky. I thought Scott gave us some really interesting thoughts there.
I mean, yeah, and he's right. Be careful what you wish for. I think that we're really reactionary, but to be honest, in the situation that we're in, that's normally what happens. The manager is the guy who takes the brunt of it, and he's not even playing.
The other thing that he said there towards the end, and it's critical, when we talk about players, should we keep them, should we not? I'm sure we'll do a lot of stay or go with some of these guys here. It's not just about can you play, can you handle
being here
and handle the pressure of trying to win here. Like, I'll just use Alec Bohm, right? He's the one everyone's thinking about as I say that. He's a good hitter. He's shown he can play. He was an all-star this year. Can he handle when things go wrong? Can he handle October? I still have major questions he can handle either of those things. His sense of handling adversity feels not great to me.
Mm-hmm.
And his history in October when the lights shine brightest has been poor. He's a major question mark, Hugh. I know they probably are afraid to give him away, and then he takes another leap, and he's a superstar hitter or a star hitter.
Yeah, you got to be patient. You have to be patient.
But you also have to know what you got, right? They've had him. He was drafted, I think, in 2019 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
They've had him a long time now. They know who he is, and we'll find out this offseason what they do. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. When I see Hugh is wrong on the board, they go right up to the top. Spike in Bristol. Hey, Spike.
They're just a little mad at me because I've had to tell him no a bunch of times and start them out saying they shouldn't have been.
What do we think's going on here?
I don't know. She's telling somebody no.
Yeah.
Nobody He's likes to hear no.
Telling people they're wrong. That's what we do all the time.
Hey, Spike.
We'll put you on hold, Spike.
Hi, Spike.
She's a little nervous. She might say something we ain't trying to hear on the radio.
I didn't want to do that to her. It felt like we were about to hear something we shouldn't. Let's go to Dennis in Newtown. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Dennis.
I think I'm a little calmer than I was after the other night. But
okay, we are too. We're still upset, but a little calmer.
A couple of things occurred to me. First of all, last night, I saw something that I couldn't believe, guys. I couldn't believe it.
What'd you see?
a squeeze play to get an insurance run late in the game.
The Tigers game last night, it was awesome. It was an awesome play.
Yeah, and I'm looking at those two lineups, and I just don't see the Phillies constructed at all that way. But that's another story for another day, I guess. Secondly, I'm fortunate enough to be retired, and I don't think in the 50 years that I worked in my industry that I ever was able to tell my boss, you know, I knew what to do, but in the heat of the moment, I just didn't do it. Like, that's what I heard come out of Turner's mouth. So easy to be told not to swing, but when you're in the heat of the battle, you can't do it. Now, you know, if I said that, I think that I have a real negative impact on my career. So I get tired of that. Same with Alec Bohm. You got to want to be coached if you want to improve, right? He's saying, I'm not changing anything. That's how I've been. I'm a first ball hitter. I'm going to stay the same. So I don't know if they need a different voice in that locker room, or they need a player with a voice that gets in people's faces and to put some fight in that team.
You know, Dennis, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, you know, people, I've heard people bring up, and Dennis, it's a great phone call, when Pete Rose got here in the late 70s. Because you could compare these teams to those teams a little bit, right? The Phillies got good in the mid to late 70s. They couldn't get over the hump. And then Pete Rose got here and it put them over the hump. Like, I do think Schwarber is the leader of the team.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I don't know, and I don't think any of us could know because we're not in there behind closed doors, like, is Schwarber tough on them when they're struggling? I don't know. We all hear what everyone said about Kyle Schwarber for 10 years in the major leagues now is he's a great leader, mm-hmm. right? But I don't know what, I don't really understand because I'm not in there. Is he a leader that, hey, you're down, I put my arm around you and I say, we're going to be fine, and he gets you through the tough times? Or is he one to go up to Bohm and say, dude, we got to wake up? I don't know. Do they need another kind of leader to, like, the good cop, bad cop, maybe with Schwarber?
I think that the leaders that we had back in the day are not viable for the locker rooms the way that the locker rooms are situated nowadays. I just don't think that's the case. And I think that when a lot of people say that, I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I don't think that's the way that things need to be handled. You need to figure out a player's why. And I think you need to operate from that standpoint as opposed to getting in somebody's face and yelling and screaming at somebody. Because you can't yell and scream at everybody. You're going to mess around and get spree-welled. I know we said it jokingly, but that's the case. A lot of these guys, you can even tell by the way that they talk that their mentality is different. So you as a coach or a manager, whatever it is, or as a teammate, you have to figure out what it is that motivates these guys.
Right.
And you have to do that in a way that's strategic. You can't always yell and scream at everybody. That dog does not hunt as much as people think it does nowadays. These guys are savvy. These guys are making too much money, and they hold all the power. It's the last bastion of that kind of coaching is the NFL, and even the NFL is going the way that's starting to go away. The Bill Parcells, the Bill Belichicks, and all those guys that coach that way. They're not in the league anymore. I know Kyle is going to hate to hear me say this, but this is the NFL of major league buddies. It really, really is. Think about the fact that we hang on to Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts' relationship, and Jalen has to go above and beyond the call to let everybody know him and the coach are cool.
Yeah.
That's just how the league is nowadays, and that's how it is everywhere. So I would suggest this. You need to figure out what Alex, since we're using him as an example, his why, and try to cultivate that part of it.
Well, especially after you hear this, Alec Bohm after the game the other night talking about his approach and, you know, the shades of Simmons, shades of Wentz in this response. Here's Bohm the other night.
When I swing at the first pitch, I usually put it in play and hit it. I don't foul it off. I don't swing and miss. So the at-bat ends right there, and then I don't get a hit. And, he's swinging at the first pitch. He needs to see pitches. But I'm up there. I'm an aggressive hitter. I'm not going to change who I am. That's how I've been my whole career. That's what's got me here. And if they throw the ball over the plate, I'm ready to hit it. And I'm not going to think too much about all that other stuff and just go up there. And every time I stand there with the bat on my shoulder and see a pitch, it's right down the middle. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
I'm not going to change who I am. He also there's
that was more being more defined than anything.
Yeah, he subtly also referenced the backlash because he was referencing, which means he saw it or heard about it. Remember a couple days before this past game, we talked about how he didn't see many pitches.
Mm-hmm.
He referenced there, when I swing at the first pitch, I usually hit it, right? I put it in play, so I'm not seeing many pitches. That tells me he's paying attention to criticism.
Yes. And here's another thing. Remember, we had a chance to talk to him at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. Spring training.
He was a little more easygoing.
Yeah, well, spring training.
Well, yeah, but the point is this. And he talked about how he lets the game come to him in a nutshell. That's basically what he said. That was him defending himself.
It was.
Because he's hearing, whether he's listening to the station or he's hearing other people say it to him, he's defending his position. And that's what it is. That's what I'm talking about, Joe. A lot of times, as an example, when I played, I didn't listen to the radio. And I know that we like to talk about guys listening to the radio and being a part of the show and Bryce Harper listening. Sometimes when you're a professional athlete, you have to tune it out and not internalize everything. Because when you do stuff like that, when you listen to it and you hear the negativity, we're all human. We don't like to hear it. Just you can't listen to it sometimes. Because whether like we have a job to do just like you have a job to do. And we're going to say what we want to say and you're going to do what you want to do. But you can't carry that to the field with you in anything that you do. And I think that's kind of what he's doing.
I agree with you. I also think, it's probably hard to do this, Hugh. You lived a life of trying to perform and play your best while people reacted to it. You ever hear the old Reggie Jackson quote, they don't boo nobodies?
Mm-hmm.
We don't. Has anyone spent any time the last few days upset that Austin Hayes or Edmundo Sosa struck out in this series? Because we know what they are, right? They're role players. There's frustration with Bohm because we expect more, right? Yeah. He has talent.
They don't see it like that, though.
I know.
You don't see it like that. You don't see it as you're booing somebody who is you expect more from. They see it as, why are you hating on me? Because I'm doing something that you wish you could do.
Yeah.
It's more so that than anything.
You're right. But it is, in a weird way, it's complimentary. When people are frustrated with Alec Bohm, it's because we think he can be better than this.
But they don't see it like that.
I know. But you know what? I don't want to hear him react to reaction. Just go hit. I'm like, I don't care.
Spikes. Good luck with that.
Spikes in Bristol. What's up, Spike?
Oh, I need to talk to Hugh.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Hugh, I love you to death.
But?
And I loved you when you were on the field, and you and I love Vegas. Okay, but now you kept saying all spring and all offseason, defense is a luxury.
Yes.
Defense is a luxury.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I am totally saying that you are wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And I know you were defense, weren't you? So
Yes. Let
me just tell you, defense is not a luxury. And when we need the defense to stand up, that hasn't shown up for 2 weeks, and I'm going to say I do not include BG in any of what I'm saying, okay? He's not guilty. He gets a pass.
Okay.
But everybody else does not get a pass, and I am so mad at Slay. He is not big play Slay. He's not showing up Slay, okay? And I'm telling you that I am so happy that the Eagles poured money into the defense this offseason, but where the heck are they? Where the heck are they?
Let me help you out a little bit, Spike, with
no,
this one.
No, Spike's got you now.
No, it doesn't.
Spike's got you.
Does anybody know who's the number one defense in the NFL, total defense in the NFL right now? Does anybody know?
I would guess Chicago.
No.
Who is it?
It's the Indianapolis Colts.
No.
Okay.
The total defense.
What do you mean by total defense? Yards allowed?
Defensive stats. Just yards allowed, like games played, like yards, giving up yards.
Are they
rushing.
Number most yards allowed?
No. They are the number one total defense.
And defense. Where are the Eagles?
And they have
where
a losing
are,
record.
Wait.
The Eagles in total defense?
Yeah.
The Eagles in total defense right now. Let me see it. I'm looking it up right now. The Philadelphia Eagles are somewhere towards the end.
Yeah.
You know. But my point is this.
Defense is not a luxury.
But my
tell
point him, is.
Tell him.
But my point is this, Spike. The top three defenses in the NFL, and I would even give you the fourth, they don't have winning records. They don't. So,
well,
to my point,
we.
to my point.
It's early right now.
That it I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of a sage over here.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Hold on.
Because the
this team's defense stinks.
No, but I'm saying you got the best team. Some of the best teams in NFL defenses are garbage, and they don't have winning records.
Scoring is down. Defense matters more than how it years. And Spike, you are so right, Spike.
Doesn't.
Spike, we appreciate it. You are so right. All right, I'm starting a movement right now. Okay, if the Eagles defense gets torched by Watson. You know what we're doing on Monday?
Oh, yeah. We're going to kill the defense. We're going to kill the offense.
Kyle, I propose this. On Monday, if the Eagles defense gets torched by Watson, and I don't think it's going to happen, we are having a funeral for Hugh's take. Okay?
Maybe me.
I'm going to wear a suit.
Why?
We're going to have three funerals. No, Hugh.
No, I'm Hugh. Wearing, Hugh,
it'll have to be over.
What you mean?
No, like that.
I'm wearing a black suit in here on Monday. If they get beat by Deshaun Watson, your take is dead. The season is dead.
I'm also dressing in black.
We're going to be the pallbearers for your take, the whole thing.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson is bad.
You're done for, dude.
But I'm just saying, defense is a luxury. It's not a necessity.
It absolutely is.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs are winning because their defense right now. They're 5-0.
No, but
the Vikings are winning because
they're defense. They're not the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah, they are.
They're not.
But they are. When you watch them, you know they are.
Don't get mad at me because the numbers say what they
say.
The
Broncos are winning with defense. The Vikings are winning with defense.
I'm just saying. What does the numbers say, Joe? What do the numbers say?
Defense matters. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Your phone calls the other side. Should the Phillies fire Rob Thompson? They are deliberating his status moving forward here. The Eagles, will you guarantee a win? I will. I hope we don't have that funeral on Monday. They're going to win this game. Also coming up, apparently Nick Sirianni has a response to my criticism about him chewing gum at pressers.
Sorry, Joe.
I haven't heard this. We'll hear it together next. That's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We're not taking this anymore. Anymore. Yeah. I'm not taking your crap, the Phillies' crap,
wait a minute. Yeah.
Anybody's.
Okay. Before Kyle pre-upped the strikes, I had it mixed up. But my point was still valid.
No, you didn't just have it mixed up. You had it completely backwards.
No, I had it backwards.
So, all right. So, full clarity here that the Colts are dead last in total defense.
Yes, but my point is still valid when I said that the number one defense in the NFL.
It.
No, it's not. I just had the teams wrong. But the number one defense in the NFL still has a losing record.
Can we even trust you to do Harvard studies anymore?
Yes,
you're a disaster.
Really. Couple of things here. The Titans are number one in total defense, right? And that's your point. And they have a losing record.
Yes.
They've also played one less game.
No, but it's still valid. What about the Denver Broncos? They're 3-2, but they're not that great.
On their defense.
Hugh, they should not be 3-2 with Bo Nix.
Top five teams in points per game allowed. Chargers, okay? They're 500, I believe.
Yeah.
Broncos over 500. Steelers over 500. Vikings undefeated. Bears over 500. Chiefs undefeated.
That's tough, Hugh.
No, it's not. My point is valid, though. My point is still valid.
No.
Defense does not matter. It's a luxury. The New York Jets are the total defense, third. Third in total defense.
That's because their quarterback's a senior citizen.
I'm just saying. My point is valid. I stand on this.
If this goes wrong Sunday, Paul Bears. Suits, we're having a funeral for your take on Monday.
I just had the teams wrong.
I like take funerals.
We should start doing them.
Take funerals.
But we all have to dress up if we're doing a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't embarrass
I only
people.
Got one suit, man. I already wore it. I wore it for the pictures.
Well, you were Reverend.
Wait a second.
Reverend Doug.
You only have one suit?
I only got, I got more than one. But
I'm
for
just
the
saying,
of this,
Hugh, if...
Only got one.
If you wear that reverend suit to our take funeral, I mean, it's going to be a joke. You can't do that. All right, 215.
We're mocking the funeral.
592-9494. All right, speaking of mocking, Nick Sirianni had a press conference a little earlier. Apparently, he got wind that some people, myself included, don't love the idea of him chewing gum at pressers.
Yep. Would you like to hear what he had to say about that?
Yep.
Hey, your mom didn't want me to chew that gum.
So he was chewing gum at today's press conference and then made a joke about it. And
hey, your mom didn't want me to chew that gum.
And the mom he's referencing is Bob Lang's mom, Mama Lang. Mama Lang, she didn't like. I could imagine her saying, "Telling him to stop chewing that gum," and told Bob.
Sirianni doing your mama jokes.
Yeah, I am okay with the Friday afternoon gum chew on before the game.
Don't
you dare come to the podium after a loss chewing gum.
How dare you?
I mean, hey, your mom didn't want me to chew in that gum.
That's fine. Yeah, I never want to see that again after a loss.
Yeah, it's a little unprofessional.
A little
bit unprofessional.
It was nonchalant. Like, yeah, we got blown out by the Bucks, but
I don't give a shit.
That's fine. I do. 215-592-94.
Should I cut that at just your mom?
Yes.
Y'all still mad at me because I was right about my
Thanks team. Enough.
I'm just pointing out the fact.
Hold on. I know we're moving on. But I want to point out that the top six defenses in terms of points per game allowed are 500 or better.
I said three. I kept it to three.
The bottom six defenses in terms of points per game allowed are all under 500.
I kept it to a small sample, though.
Does that not mean anything to you?
But I read it helps my narrative. Okay, who's the number one defense, Joe?
In what? Points or yards?
No, I'm just saying total defense.
So yards per... That's yards.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yards per game allowed this year. It's the Titans.
Okay. What's the record?
I think they've won
Point
once.
Made! Point made! My point is made.
It's not.
I have an agenda.
It's not. It's one team after four games.
Okay, fine. Fine.
Also, their quarterback might be the dumbest guy on the planet. If they had a quarterback with half a brain, they would have won two games.
I still can't get over that. What the F were you doing? What are you
doing? That's your example? The what the F are you doing quarterback? It's his fault.
Oh, my goodness. That one turnover that he had on the goal line.
Oh, my goodness.
Who did they lose to? Was it Jackson? No, they lost to the Jets. That was the Jets game.
The Jets. And they lost to a team that fired Bob Sala in the middle of a season. Let's go to the phone lines here. Barbara's at Philly. Hey, Barbara.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How
What's
are you?
Going on?
Barbara, we're just, I don't know, we're losing our minds in here.
Well, I'm losing my mind, too. Listen, I got a couple of points. Listen, I'm a novice when it comes to baseball. I just started watching the Phillies within the last year or two. So I'm coming from this standpoint. The way you get somebody's attention is you hit them in the pocket. Hit them in the pocket and... If we acquired these guys because I'm talking Trey Turner and I'm talking Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. We acquired these guys because they were performing.
Mm-hmm.
They get here, and if you're not performing, I wish that there was a clause in their contract that said you got to get some of that money back. Because I feel like we got robbed. I feel like they need to get some of that money back because they didn't perform. They're garbage. I think Schwarber is the leader of the Phillies, and I just wish that they would get their act together. Now, when it comes to coaches and stats and things like that, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I just know what I see. Then when it comes to the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
I'm with Hugh. Hugh, I understand your trend of thought. I get you. I am very leery because we went into a game, I think it was with the Washington Commanders, thinking we had that game locked up or whatever, and mm-hmm. they beat the brakes off of us.
Mm.
So that's all I have to say.
Well,
and
go ahead, Barbara. It's a fair point that sometimes we go into a game where we're big favorites and we think it's a lock, and then it doesn't happen. It's happened.
Yeah.
It's happened a lot in the NFL so far this season. That's true.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I'm very leery of Sunday.
But Barbara, you don't agree with him on defense. Defense still matters. You got to play defense.
Well, defense does matter.
Yes, thank you.
It does matter.
Not
however,
necessity.
however, if we're not getting, if we can't protect our quarterback, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, we're done.
They had one good game. They had one good game where the defense showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first game of the season.
Yep.
Well, the second game. They showed up in Louisiana.
Yeah, the third game. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've been flat ever since. Ever since.
Well, they were terrible against Tampa. Barbara, it's a good phone call. We like that. That's a good call. I mean, how about that? She came right out and said, Trey, give some of that money back.
Give it back. He ain't going to do that, though. It'd be good luck with that. He ain't giving that money back.
Yeah, that's one request I've never given out because that one, that's a dead end.
That's definitely not going to happen. That dog is definitely not hunting.
Nope. And that's okay. We have some news here.
94 WIP. Breaking news.
So it's, I mean, nothing has happened, per mm-hmm. se.
Okay.
We did get a report, or I guess we have a scheduled media availability
for the Phillies
Tuesday, 11 a.m. Dave Dombrowski immediately followed by Rob Thompson.
Well, that does point to the idea he's back, because you don't send a fired guy out there to talk after you fire him. I mean, things obviously could change between now and then, but we have a scheduled media availability Tuesday, 11. We'll air that on the midday show for sure.
That's right.
Dombrowski at 11. And I'm glad he's going first, and I'm actually glad he's going by himself, because that guy's, if they put Topper up there with Dombrowski, every question would be about Hoffman and the decisions, Wheeler game one. I want Dombrowski to answer questions about the trade deadline, about his acquisitions, about Austin Hayes and Carlos Estevez doing nothing for this team. Especially Hayes. I know he got sick, but again, I mean, they
you want him front and center.
Yeah, I want Dombrowski to answer. The last 2 years.
I mean, I think that's fair.
How many moves can you make that stink before we start asking questions here? So that's Tuesday coming up. All right, so it sounds like Topper will be back. We'll see where this goes. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What's up, Andy?
Oh, nothing. Life's a lot better than it was yesterday morning. I realized midday yesterday that the return of Mr. Black Hockey was coming.
That's right.
My day got brighter.
I expect some hockey future bets by 1:45 today, Hugh. I got my FanDuel app
future
open.
Future bets.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Am I taking the over, the under of their points? Am I taking Michkov to win Rookie of the Year? Am I betting?
So you trust me after that NFL total offense? Total defense.
The funniest part is, trust you on football? No. Trust you on hockey? Yes.
Now, plant-based Hugh analyzes football. Mr. Black Hockey analyzes hockey.
That's right.
There we go.
We're good. Thompson, I don't see – I think Thompson deserves at least one more year. I see the issue more is Dombrowski. I mean, he hasn't given him the tools to do what he needs to do. You don't have any contact hitters. We don't need home runs. We need runners on base. You know, we're not getting anywhere without that at this point.
Well, and Andy, you watch the other side of this series, the Mets. They constantly put the bat on the ball. Marte at the bottom of the order, Iglesias. I mean, they've got a few power hitters, like obviously Alonso, but they put the bat on the ball a lot, and we didn't do the same.
And your power hitters need to be up there while you have base runners rather than getting single home runs all the time. So the team's just constructed poorly. I think that, in that regard, I think that Dombrowski needs to address, you know, and he won't, I'm sure, but he needs to address where he's put them, the position he's put them in. But that's the only way I see this team getting better, and I really think Thompson gets one more year. I also wonder what it would do to the team's morale. Like you guys were saying, bringing in somebody that yells and screams, but you're getting rid of somebody that they really like. So if it falls apart again, and I know we don't want to hear that, we got to go through another year of that, then they're going to see and realize where they are. You know, it's just you can't assume that a new coach is going to change anything or manager.
Well, I don't. And Andy, when Scott was on with us earlier, he mentioned it. They've done this. They've changed managers, and a lot of the issues persist. I mean, it's who the players are. Andy, what are you thinking? Browns, Eagles, you guaranteeing a win?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm tired of being scared, so I guarantee it. You know, just like Herb would say,
you got to
run the ball, throw the ball, north, south, east, west, play defense.
You better keep
that
mouth down and shut, boy.
You better leave Herb alone.
Herb felt attacked.
Yeah, he felt attacked. I felt a little Herb today. I felt like Herb
you
today.
Feel Herb, understood. Andy, we appreciate it.
I feel like a lot of times Herb drops knowledge on the show.
I'm looking at the freeze.
He's misunderstood.
Oh, is that what you were?
Yeah, I was misunderstood.
When you fed us false stats.
I had this stats.
You're fake news Douglas today.
Wait a minute. I was right in a sense. I just had the wrong team. I'm dying on this hill.
I know. And the funeral's Monday if they don't stop the Browns offense.
Yeah, they need to do that. That would be so bad. That would be so bad. You talk about the fact that we were talking about firing Topper and everything. That would be a bad look.
I'll just put it this way. If the Browns offense gets going this weekend, Fangio, just turn your key card in and we'll see you next time. Like, there's no point for Fangio here. I actually think they're going to play well this weekend. They're coming off a bye. They're healthier. Devontae's at practice today. AJ should be back. Lane should be back. Yeah, the Browns are coming off two straight road games. This will be their third straight road game.
This is tough.
It's set up for the Eagles to have a win this weekend.
Yeah, to be on the road as much as they've been on the road, that's a tough one. It should be, man. It should be. It should be a good game.
But you won't guarantee it.
I won't guarantee it. I've as far as my guarantees have gone lately, they ain't been the greatest. I kind of guarantee.
Are you doubting yourself?
Night.
You're doubting
well,
yourself.
Well, it's when you guys put pressure on me.
Oh, so you're deflecting.
Yeah, I'm deflecting. And Kyle, mostly Kyle.
Seriously, Kyle?
You don't? You get to playing the music and you get to yelling and screaming and looking at me all crazy?
What are you even talking about?
There you go.
We have a live studio audience here, okay? They pay good money to be here every day.
Come on, you.
I'm not guaranteeing it.
Guarantee a win.
I'm not going to do it. Hey, I already screwed up the stats for the what you call it? I'm cool. I'm cool on predictions for the day.
Well, yeah, I mean, you already made a fool out of yourself. Why not? You act
like I don't do that every day, though. What are you talking about?
The funniest part is of you making a mistake is the team that actually does lead the NFL in yards per game allowed. Does have a losing record.
Yes, they do.
You were right, I had it backwards. But you were so confident it was the Colts, and they are actually the worst at it.
Yeah.
That's the funniest part.
But it doesn't help that I'm blind. The point was, man, and I need to blame the stat people because they had the stats. They had them flip-flop.
What do you mean blame the stat people?
Because when I looked up the stats, they were flip-flop. Because normally when you look at the stats, Joe, you go from top to bottom. In this situation, they went from bottom to top.
Yeah. A bad carpenter blames his tools.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. This is not on me.
Oh, come on now. Oh, let's go to Mark in Woodbury Heights. What's up, Mark?
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hey, Mark.
I have to comment on the Phillies and Alec Bohm, what you played a few minutes back about swinging at the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with swinging at the first pitch, but it all comes down to situational. Swinging at the first pitch in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning when you're down two or more runs is stupid. It's just stupid. You need to get on base. And, like, him, I even blame Castellanos to a certain degree. No concept about hitting. None. I mean, so my next question is, who's responsible for this philosophy? Yeah, just go up and swing. If it's there, just swing. Who's responsible?
I mean, the hitting coach is he's everyone's buddy. They all love him from Washington. Mark, I think he just lets them do whatever they do. I mean, it doesn't feel like any of them change much from year to year. It's like who they've been their whole career. And, Mark, to your point, I agree with you. It is situational. In the first inning, you get a hit. You get a ball to hit, crush it. But it just feels like Bohm is just shrugging his shoulders like, well, this is who I am. Well, that's not good enough, obviously.
No, it's just pure stupidity. This baseball team, what I just saw over the last 4 months, right, and last year, game 6 and 7, this is all an extension of that. They got hot in the beginning of the year because their pitching was unbelievable. The offense has been up and down like a roller coaster, and – you know, I'm watching the game the other night. I'm calling the strikeouts before they happen. I'm calling it. My wife couldn't believe it. You knew Turner was going to swing at the ball in the dirt. You knew Realmuto is just going to make a mockery of his at-bat, which he did twice. Boom. Castellanos struck out in a very crucial situation. Did he have a good series? He did. But he struck out in a really crucial situation. Swinging at ball four. I mean, come on, guys. They beat themselves more than the Mets beat them. I'm sorry. They beat themselves. And when I heard Bohm, I mean, God, what a bonehead. Just an absolute bonehead.
Yeah, it reminded me of Ben Simmons and Carson Wentz, Mark. And we appreciate the phone call. It reminded me of guys that just didn't get it and didn't want to improve, and then they got a ticket out of here. And Bohm might be the next one. All right, our Twitter quest today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. A couple polls up today. Number one, do you want Rob Thomas to be the Phillies manager next year? 64% yes on that one. Topper getting some support today. And will you guarantee an Eagles win over the Browns? Almost the same results, but the opposite. 63% won't guarantee a win over the Browns.
Yeah, because they understand what they understand me.
Soft.
People that understand. Like the majority might not understand me, but the people on the people that are voting, they get it.
You know what I think it is?
You're not always easy to understand.
Sometimes a legit threat.
I think people are terrified the Eagles are going to crap their pants on Sunday. That's what it is.
You know what it is? It's the sure thing. That's the problem. Because Vegas has made it a sure thing. It's almost like, hey, you know, and it's like,
So with that, you know, this year in the NFL, and this is atypical. This doesn't usually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, the team that is the biggest underdog is either winning the game outright or covering. The big favorites so far this year are struggling. And this week, we happen to be the biggest
favorite.
And
I'll tell you, the kiss of death to me,
what do we got?
Was the ringing endorsement that Jalen gave to Nick Sirianni. And I feel bad for saying that because I feel like Jalen was being sincere.
Yeah.
But in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, hell, why you didn't do that a couple weeks ago?
Well, speaking of sincere and leadership within that locker room, let's hear yesterday CJGJ on Darius Slay's leadership. And then we got to play for you what Darius said about the reaction to the whole Micah Parsons podcast stuff a couple weeks ago. Here's CJGJ on Slay.
He's a great teammate. And Marcus, he's a captain of our team. We listen to him, we follow him, and just try to hope we get a Super Bowl this year to make sure that he can go out with a bang, you know, being on his last couple of years and how he want to play it. But to take care of our vets and making sure that they know they got a safe haven here.
All right, so CJGJ excusing Darius Slay's behavior. They all follow him. Maybe this is part of the issue so far this season, that they follow the leader. But let's hear Darius Slay. I guess it's the first time he got a chance to speak since the
Well, he went on his podcast and responded to the reaction
right,
originally.
But this is the first time the media's talked
yes,
to him.
Yes, first time the media's asked him about it. And the first one we have is him being asked about just the fan reaction.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, we all good. Like, yeah, nobody, I don't know why it got out of hand like that because it was like, I know I ain't saying nothing bad about it or nothing like that. But yeah, so, but that was easy to clear up. It wasn't nothing that difficult. It's just more for for the fans part, you know, just saying like, hey man, fans, like y'all chill out. Like, I got friends outside of football, you know, but it is what that is. No, but that was smooth. That wasn't that bad.
Were you surprised about the reaction?
Oh, in that kind of way, yes. But I understand the rivalry about the things, but yeah, it was a little surprised about that. But it is what it is.
So Darius was surprised that fans were mad after his team got torched that he went on Micah Parsons' podcast. Surprised. Are you new here?
Yeah. I don't think that he thinks the rivalry thing is real. I go back to the way that guys do things nowadays, the way that they operate. The fact that we traded jerseys now on the field with rivalries, that's something that you do in the offseason. You know, that's something that you would never think about doing during the course of the season. And he's right. I have friends I'm friends with Dallas Cowboys. And to this day, that conversation that we have about the rivalry is still a touchy subject. Nate Newton, good friend of mine, went to HBCU. Nate always finds a way to poke the bear. Like, why are you so mad, Hugh? You ain't never win a Super Bowl. Like, he says that. And I'm like, hey, Nate, it's enough of that. You know, it's only so much joking you're going to take.
Sure, sure.
But you respect each other. But to have it like the way that they did it, I see why people are upset because it's in season. He says something derogatory, whether you believe it, like whether you like it or not. He says something derogatory about one of your guys.
After a loss,
a loss. And you came on, even though you didn't say anything bad, you put seasoning on it. That's what it is.
I know
you
put
seasoning on it.
They're human beings. They're allowed to be friends. I don't care if he's friends with a cowboy. Like, who? I'm not going to lose any sleep. Just like, you can be friends with Nate Newton. You're all athletes and players and maybe frat brothers or whatever. Who cares? But you're rubbing it in fans' faces.
Yeah.
You're making it public. So Slay was also asked about, would he do the Parsons thing again? Here's that answer.
I'm not like reevaluating what you're saying, but like thinking about things differently when you're putting it out there.
Nah, what do you think about?
Like if you think about like differently about things you're going to say on the podcast based off this reaction, does it change anything for you?
Oh, no, because I mean, me and Mike are real cool. Like guys like that, you know. I'm probably most likely to be on this podcast again. You know, so but yeah, it's just, you know, when you're friends like that way before football and trying to be friends way after football. Like, yeah, that's what we do. We're trying to help each other out.
Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Did I hear him say, "And I'm going to do it again"?
Yes, he did.
Okay, just want to make sure I heard it right.
That's why I said the other day when everybody was upset and they're like, "I can't believe he did it." I can. That's who Slay is. For Slay, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And you know, you talk about, we were just talking about Bowman, how he has to let some of that stuff go.
Yeah.
Slay is that guy. That's who you want Bohm to be, in a sense. Slay does not care about what you think about him.
We do have two ends of the extreme here.
Yes, but he doesn't. You don't think Slay knew what that was going to mean for him? Slay played in Detroit, dog. Slay played in Detroit. No disrespect to anybody that's listening in earshot to this station, but Detroit ain't Philly.
Well, and they were really bad then. So yes. It was bad Detroit.
Detroit ain't Philly. You come back to Philly. You play in Philly. You become an elite athlete here in Philly. Your life is different. Perfect example. Brandon Graham ain't going to pay for no meal ever in life if he stays here. Jason Kelce, we ain't got to talk about that. I was in the store the other day, and I saw a fan guide. It was a complete, like, for kids, a cutout of Jason Kelce and the fan guide you need to know to Jason Kelce. You play here, it hits different than playing anywhere else. And he knows that. He's capitalizing on that. He is trying to springboard himself into his next career.
Can I springboard him out of here?
I mean, and he's doing it strategically.
I want Slay paying double for meals here in the city from now on.
You funny, man. You funny.
That would be a great bit. Every restaurant in the city. How much? Yeah, double.
Yeah, go on that podcast, 25 extra bucks.
I double it every time you go on Parse's podcast during the season.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.